This is the Friday, March 15th, 2019 of the Market Plus segment. Joining us is Don Rose. Don, welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
Don, we had some interesting discussion there at the end of the program we didn't quite get to wrap up. Looking at the hog markets this week, are they a driver for the cattle markets as well, or is it possible for the lean hog markets to pull up cattle prices with them?
Well, I think it's all about China, you know, what happens with China. And does, I think, yes, it is possible, you know, because we do have a cattle-hog ratio, a spread that usually you see consumer buying pork versus beef or beef versus pork, depending on how the price is. But, you know, it's the cattle market certainly on Friday pushed into contract highs, and they followed the hogs up. And the hogs are just really a big unknown. You know, like we were talking in the regular program is, you know, there's a big disconnect between what the government says, what the market's betting, and what they think China's going to buy. And does China really show up as the big buyer with the big liquidation they had?
And you mentioned contract highs in the cattle markets, specifically the feeders. They pushed up into 148, I think, territory in the deferred contracts out there in the future. Are we going to be able to push higher? Are these kind of the levels range-bound we're stuck in them as well?
Well, I think a lot of it depends on what happens the back months of cash cattle. We think the cattle are trying to top, or the futures, we think the cattle are trying to top out. Then the other ingredient for the feeder cattle is what happens with the corn market. And it feels like the corn market is trying to push up also. So I think that's a combination that says the feeder market is probably getting mature, just like the cash, just like the live cattle on the border getting mature. So I would say that you know, we're pushing up towards the top end of the range. You could put on another $3 to $5 a hundredweight, but I think it's probably limited right now.
Okay, talking about protein consumption and protein demand, especially in Southern Asia, China specifically. We had this discussion just a little bit ago, and I think it's an interesting one when you look at tastes and preferences in China. The consumer there relies so heavily on pork. They have a little bit of beef and chicken in the diet, but they lifted a ban this week on U.S. poultry, or they're in the process of lifting that ban. Do you see the Chinese consumer transitioning to becoming a poultry-based diet? And if so, what's that going to do to the lean hog market?
Well, I tell you, that's a very interesting thought process, because if you look around the rest of the world, poultry is by far the meat choice. It's actually fish first and then poultry, just because of the efficiencies that you have and the fast turnaround, the repopulation that you can have in poultry. So it would be a logical choice for China to move towards poultry, particularly when you keep in mind that almost 50% of their hogs are raised by operations that are under 500 head per year of production. So don't rule that out, and that might be where the trade gets fooled on how much pork that's going to be bought by China.
Mm. Did the trade spur some excitement this week in the cotton markets because of Chinese imports?
Well, we do. Remember, our cotton, about 80% of it's exported, and a huge percentage to China. So there again, you have, when China's talking about buying, you know, you think about it, they're going to buy, according to sources, upwards of 50 billion ag products. They only buy 20 billion now. We export about 140 billion total. So, yeah, I think that's a support underneath all the ag markets, and it's a support underneath the cotton market also.
Okay. Don, we've got some great social media questions. I'm going to take the ones about China in particular, since we're already discussing China. We've got Roger in Kokomo, Indiana, asking a general question here. He said, is the discrepancy between world-ending stocks and private analysts because of the big Chinese corn discovery? Is this accurate, and is this why corn is tanking?
Well, I tell you, it was a big number. But I remember in the 80s, we jumped, that we did a resurvey, and they had an increase like 17 billion bushels. And so, my gosh, it wasn't even close. So I think since this has been a 10-year readjustment, I think what we say is it's been in the marketplace. We've been trading it. So it doesn't mean that much, and it's a trade as normal. But it certainly tells you that it's hard to rely on the numbers out of China is what it really says.
Mm-hmm. And I think the other question here is that so many people are asking, and we're asking it time and time again, especially when we look at the soybean markets. We've got a question here from Dan in Prairie City. Is a trade deal with China priced into the soybean futures market, or will a favorable resolution cause prices to rally?
Well, look at what the I think what we have is a short term is probably a positive. long term, there's only so much global trade in the world, and I don't see a big new consumption. Either we take from South America or they take from us. Remember, we produce 34% of the world's soybeans. South America produces like 52%. So, our market share can go up, but I think we're still going to be one that you have to take from somebody else. But I think it'll be a supportive factor. But remember, the government has prices for next year at $8.80 a bushel. I think they're probably pretty close for an overall average.
$8.80 per bushel, assuming we don't get some sort of trade negotiation or trade resolution?
I think they're counting on a trade resolution, actually, on that. And going back to normal exports, if you look at it. But then again, you have to remind yourself it's all about weather, and we can change these balance tables pretty fast. But so far in an El Nino year, you can't bet on we should have normal growing conditions in North America. We might have some summer problems in South America and Brazil and Argentina with their corn crops. Probably not their soybean crops. That's behind us.
Let's talk about American weather. We did just a little bit on the show there, but we've seen so much flooding. We're seeing so many wet places now, and delayed planting is obviously an issue or could be an issue for folks. Are we going to see wheat acres transition into corn or soybeans?
Well, we might, even some spring wheat up in the northern plains up north, that could switch over maybe to soybeans. But, I think it's a bit too early. Of course, the winter wheat's already planted. It's going to see what happens with that as it comes out of dormancy. It's been awful wet. Looks like that crop is suspect here right now. But, the acre debate is going to be on, but it's probably just a little bit early to get a real foothold on that. We'll see how the weather goes. I think it's going to be week by week going forward, Delaney.
Okay, so if it's too early to start having that weather debate now on acreage, when is it going to be the time when the market finally recognizes it, or acreage finally?
Well, I don't think we're that far off on it. I think, after next week, I think it'll get to be a serious discussion where we go from here because, you think about it. I mean, people want to get in the fields here. Look at your planting date starts. A lot of areas, it's the first week of April. Even across the gut side of the Midwest, it's the second week of April is your first planting date. And then things go pretty fast, as we know. But the big difference is we've just got such big equipment. It can go in so fast that the trade really waits till the last moment before they embrace it.
So last week we had Elaine Cubb on the show, and she was saying most producers can get into the field and probably get most of their planting, if not all of it, done in a week. Would you agree with that, Don?
Yeah, about 10% of the crop we think we can get in a day. So,
okay.
Something like that. But then, you can get delayed pretty fast. And remember, there wasn't much fall tillage work done, and so that's under normal conditions.
And so that second week of April, are we looking at that to also maybe price some premium into the commodity markets as well as that acreage shift?
Yeah, we usually what we do this time of year is we add premium to the market because a lot of things can go wrong. It's kind of like a card game. We don't know a lot about the market yet. Not many of the cards are out. By the time they start coming out, and they're going to come out fast, we'll know where we're sitting. And by the time we hit, the middle of May, 1st of June, we know pretty well. And then remember, if all looks good, by the time you hit June, you're really dialed in a lot of the premium, and it starts to come out. So you want to be pretty fast. Things are going to happen pretty quick the next 6 weeks.
Okay, so with all of that being said, if guys are not marketed ahead yet, maybe they haven't marketed corn or soybeans or wheat ahead of time here, this next 6 weeks, or once, is it 6 weeks from when we start planting that guys should maybe be looking to make some new crop sales?
Yeah, I think, somewhere, here as we come into the end of March, you want to start to 6 weeks. The clock starts ticking. You want to be pretty fast on it. And, remember, I would have to caution people that the big difference that we've had the last 5-6 years, why we don't just rally up out of here is because we're facing Brazil's crop, which comes at us in June, and Argentina, at the same time frame. So you've got, 1.2 billion bushels that are exportable out of Brazil coming at you right during that time frame when you think we should be running up. They're selling into it, and that stuffs us back down. But we still grow 33% of the world corn, and so it's a big deal. If the U.S. has problems, the world has problems. So it's still very much a big debate.
And the world also has problems right now because of the huge ending stocks we're sitting on in the soybean markets. I think this is also a very timely question. We've got Carol here in Clair City, South Dakota. What kind of soybean ending stock number would be considered bullish for the bean markets?
Well, you know one thing, that 900 is pretty bullish. And we know that we've had before, when we talk positive, it's been more like under 200 million. So, you know, you've got a big wide swing there. And I think that's why, when you look at it, the USDA in their Outlook conference, they said it's going to take at least 3 years to work off these big numbers. And so I think what you need to get really bullish on soybeans, although I will have to tell you, November 20 beans are about 975 already right now, so you can price ahead. But before you get real bullish and change the dynamics, you're going to have a series of events of problems. Big export change, problems in the North America, problems in the South America. So it's not a one-hit wonder on this one.
That's a lot to have kind of domino effect to get that to really change the pace, it seems like, then, in the soybean markets.
But it can. I mean, we've seen it before. I mean, you know, you get into some of these killer droughts, and it can change pretty fast, but it's all down to yield. Next year, you know, we'll just see what happens in North America. Remember last year, not this last year, the year before, South America had a major drought, and then we had a big enough crop to stuff it. So you need North and South America to kind of line up with some problems.
Okay. Don, final question for you. The wheat markets, they've had a crazy past couple of weeks. Jack in Scott City, Kansas, would like to know, where is wheat headed this year?
Well, the wheat market has a 140-day supply. You know, that's the big problem, where corn has a 40-day supply in the world. So I think when the wheat market up around $5 is a good target to look at, 5 to 520 is where we dropped out of. That's what I would look up for catch-up sales.
All right. Don Rose, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Join us again next week when we will look at the challenges of moving back to the farm, as many others have left the rural areas. And Angie Setzer will sit across from me at the market-to-market table. Until then, thanks for watching, listening, or reading. I'm Delaney Howell. Have a great week.